Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.
It's a rainy day in Chicago. Nice rainy day. No snow. It's not too cold. We've had those two 60 degree days, which was kind of nice. I didn't really go outside because I'm having some growing pains right now. But I think after this, after a few weeks, maybe it'll get a little warmer. I just keep praying for the warm weather.
I mean, it's already meteorological spring. At least you're right, it's not cold enough to snow. We've had some warm days, some sunny days, and it's,
like even when it snowed and then it melted, it was fine. But when it snows a lot and it sticks, then it just gets so cold the next day because it's just ice everywhere.
During fall, spring, we'll soon endure our third winter, and then maybe real spring, we'll see.
Yeah, so we're going to do an audio recording today. We're actually going to be recording this, and I'll put it on our Anchor website as well. I think our last Anchor podcast episode was, I'd say, a few weeks ago. I'm going to check right now and see when our last episode was. It was about giving our rights back, so it was about politics in the Florida high schools, LGBTQIA kids, how they couldn't, say anything or couldn't come out.
It's just they followed their right that ended mm-hmm. up passing, so that's too bad.
Yes, and then the up-and-coming Jurassic Park Dominion movie, and I'll go ahead and put that in there. You guys can listen to it. I think it was February 12th. That we talked about that. So I will put that in the link right now so you guys can listen to it. I think it's barely a half hour long, so it's not very long. But yeah, that was the last time we talked about anything on our audio podcast. So this is another episode. We're almost halfway through March now. It just seems like kind of surreal because my birthday is going to be next month, which I feel like anything between 30 and 40 is just whatever. Like, I'll be 36, so it's just one more crawl towards 40. And again, like my other milestones, Matthew will be along for the ride with me because you've been 40. So you'll know how to help me out with the 40 growing pains because I'm going through 30s growing pains right now.
Pains and the 40 pains.
Yeah, like 30, when you turn 30, you start to just care less about the stuff that doesn't matter and care more about the stuff that does. And every day you're like a metronome. So you're going in between saying everything's cool, everything's going to work out. And then the other side of the metronome is fuck everybody, fuck everything. So that's the 30s up until you turn 40, and then you just know everything. And you either become bitter or you become a glass half full kind of person. I've always been a spiritual realist, which means that I believe in things I can't see, things that I can't describe or can't explain. But I also see through the bullshit, and I don't really get manipulated that easily. So it's a good survival strategy because I don't trust everybody.
I like to think that
you're very observant. You're the observant one, which I think I'm becoming more observant.
Want to sometimes be more off, but personally, instead I think more.
You immediately go to half empty. Yeah,
it's a pile. Of
you're like dark. Everyone sucks, and everyone's
half empty.
Everyone has an agenda. Yeah, so that's what he needs me to kind of tell him. Hey, everything's gonna be fine. Not everyone's out to get you.
Yeah, that's right.
some people have their own. The thing about the hump that I have to get over is not taking everything very personally and just knowing that. Yeah, people are going through shit. People are having shit happen to them, and it could be worse than what you're going through. But still, to also let them know, you can't walk over me. You can't, minimize my feelings or what I'm going through. And, if I text you at least after a few days, text me back just so I know you're alive, especially if you're posting on socials and I see you doing that. It's like, come on, like you're on your phone. Clearly it says it's from iPhone or whatever. So it's just, I have to get over the petty shit, but I'm moving forward. So, you know, Matthew and I are going to be gone. I think we're going to be in Florida. So I don't know if we're going to do a podcast. Maybe we might be drunk. I don't know. We did do one after my friend's wedding the next day, I think, the day before we left for her wedding. But we're going to be in Florida for another wedding for Matt's cousin. So we're going to be on the Gulf side, right, of Florida. And what is it called? What is the island that we're going to?
Sanibel,
Sanibel, I think, Sanibel. So it's not far from would you say from
Fort Myers?
Okay, so we're lucky to be taking one plane, right? We're just gonna go do a direct flight, so that'll be really nice. And I even told him, I said, let's extend a day, because how often do we get to go to Florida besides when we were visiting your sister? And we were on the other side of Florida, right?
We were on the Atlantic side.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to go somewhere we've never been and see people get married and be around friends and family and just be surrounded by love and maybe get a suntan, because I definitely need one. My black ass needs a suntan. I've been putting that lotion on that makes your skin dark, and it's just, I feel like I'm a fake ass.
Yeah.
I feel fake.
Yeah.
So why don't you get started with yours? I'm gonna go blow my nose, and you can get started with your topic first, and then I'll read mine, because mine are very short. They're more commentary than they are stories.
St. Patrick's Day stuff at all?
I will. You can go ahead and say your thing first.
No, I was gonna add to your thing. So my thing, on a more serious note, you know, at the time we like to talk, like we say, music, art, life, and everything in between, and sometimes maybe we lean a little bit more in the in between, and sometimes a little bit more music. This is definitely that in-between time, as we have mentioned before in the past, kind of, you know, things that have happened to people, things that have moved us, is why we've mentioned it, whether, you know, it's various missing persons or potential murders or issues that have happened. And this one here is one that has hit very, very close to home here. As of March 9th here, we have a missing LGBTQ activist in Elise Mallory. So she went missing here in Evanston. I thought what makes this story really kind of interesting is the fact that the day she went missing was also happened to be the same day that she quit her job at the Civil Rights Bureau of Illinois and Attorney General office. Hmm. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know if necessarily those two things have anything. No,
just a side note, our friend Rachel's waving. She is actually in law school right now. This is a good topic for her to hear. Yeah.
Elise is a trans woman, so that's kind of also what maybe makes this a little bit more stirring, is here in the city, we've seen a rash of missing women, especially.
Is she black?
A rash of trans women. And yes, she is a black trans woman.
Double threat.
So there,
triple
she
threat.
Held quite a high office there as an attorney there within the Civil Rights Bureau, but she has gone missing. If you have seen her, she was last seen in the 700 block of Hinman in Evanston, that is kind of near the Catholic cemetery there. So
what's her name?
Elise Mallory, Mallary. So
Elise,
is,
like Alyse?
Elise.
Elise.
Yeah.
And then Mallo. Oh, I see. Yeah. She's already coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share this link for you guys so that you guys can see.
Find out. Yeah, there are several numbers that if you go to one of those, you're going to post the Evanston Police and Crime.
They said they found her car.
They have found her car. Also, when they went to investigate, they discovered that at her apartment, both her front and back doors were unlocked. So they don't know.
There's no force entry, do they know?
At this point in time, no. You know, and like police are always prone to say, especially when it's an adult that is missing, you know, they are not quick to jump usually to conclusions unless there is evidence to suggest otherwise.
She's so beautiful.
Real upsetting, and so it's we'll see here. Hopefully it does come out for the better. Maybe she's gone missing because of the job quitting, and just maybe she needed to get away
I'm gonna share the link in here, guys, so you guys can see and be on the lookout if you were in the Chicago area. I mean, sometimes people are just right under your nose, sometimes they're not far away. Like, I know when we talked about Brian Laundry, when he was found, he never left Florida.
So, like you mentioned, yeah,
so she's maybe she's still in Chicago. We don't know. Maybe she's still here.
6 feet tall,
She just looks like someone you'd be friends with. I mean, really, she looks like a beautiful black woman with beautiful curly hair. And like her. Why do people like that, that light up a room, that have so much joy? Why do they get to, why do they bad things happen to them?
I hope nothing it's bad just, has happened. So let's put good vibes out there.
Yeah.
And
if we have to look at it on all sides, if it's a mental illness thing, if it's a nervous breakdown, if she just ran away, if she just decided to, check out and go somewhere and not say anything. I mean, it's so unpredictable. There's a variety of reasons that someone could go missing. It either is something happened to them or they did something, or we don't know. Or they're abducted by aliens. I don't know. I mean, either way, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying people can get abducted by aliens. This was in the daytime she was reported missing.
Yeah, the March 9th, I think, was originally when she was reported missing.
Do they know who she talked to last? Was there like someone who, does she usually check in with people or does she usually call people?
Like, other did someone... than when she had last talked to family members, that's how they knew where she was. She was in the 700 block of...
Was she with friends?
Area. They don't know if she was alone or with anybody. All they know is like...
Was it daytime?
She recently quit her job, so I don't know when they know when she went missing. No.
It could be a nervous break. It could be, I don't know. Either way, she needs to be, I hope she's safe. Because...
Put those good vibes out.
Yeah, put those good vibes out because, that's...
Hopefully she returns home safe to her family and nothing nefarious has gone wrong. But we put that out there. Like I said, that's kind of the in-between. So what do you got?
Yeah, so we're going to do our second introduction. So I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And this is the Night Owl Chicago, an all-inclusive podcast that talks about music, art, and life, and everything in between. So for the new listeners, and that's why he said in between, because originally we started talking about music, I think, more. When we originally started doing our podcast, we talked about going to Smart Bar and going to parties and like our nightlife together and then music, and then we changed it to art. And then,
now
we kind of added more and more.
You know, a certain event, certain music, and then as it grew into kind of a way to reach out and connect to friends. Quarantine. And then as a result of that, all those wonderful stories and hearing quite that, the amazing people that would come on, that's where kind of more of that in-between started to develop. And
I think we're also going to be, the reason why we're doing our streaming, we might even be doing our video streaming either earlier on Fridays when Matt's home or Saturday night, because now I'm helping out with another streaming company, or I guess collective, called the Not So Late Live Stream Show, which I think Matthew and I will be doing crossovers with.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so. We could be recording in their studio.
Some of those that you know us, that somebody new to interview.
Yeah, they do promote. All they really do is they do guest promotion. So they bring a guest on the show, and then the guest gets to promote themselves. It's a great way for them to learn about other people in the area in Chicago, in Illinois, and it gives that person a platform. I mean, it gave me a platform for sure. The fact that they care about people, I wish we could get guests like that lined up every day, but that's what they're more geared towards. So we might do crossovers. We might actually record in their studio, and we could just, me and Matt could just shoot the shit. Shoot the shit with Ian and Jimmy. And they also, they have a couple of projects in the works. I can't really say anything because it's all under wraps right now. Yeah. But yeah, so it'll be fun to do crossovers with them. And I'm basically just helping out as second camera person and second recording person. And I kind of do the streaming for their Twitch page, because you got to have multiple streams. You got to have multiple platforms. So mine is going to be about St. Patrick's Day. Sorry about that. And it's the history of St. Patrick's Day. Obviously, it was yesterday. Matthew took me and my mom to the Art Institute last weekend. It was a shit show down there because, the traffic was bad. Everyone was drunk, except for me, my mom, Matthew. We don't celebrate that kind of stuff because it's not it shouldn't be celebrated. It's
a weird thing.
It should have just been one occurrence, because St. Patrick's apparently did this really good thing, and then everyone celebrated, right? It's, and that should have been it. It should have been one day, and that should have been it.
Is very uniquely American. We'll say that. I mean,
it wasn't a birthday. It wasn't a, you know.
Here in Chicago, what she's referring to is when they dyed the river green.
Yeah, and I didn't see anything about that. I didn't know if they even. I think they did the parade when we were there.
That's one of our big things here, right? So yeah. In Chicago, you had the dyeing of the river green. You also had the Southside Parade. That had population here. And at this point in time, now it's just an excuse, really, honestly.
Just to get drunk. Which it's it was like that there, too. Don't get us wrong. It's like that there, too.
But it is interesting. I thought that you were bringing this up because I saw on the news here in Chicago, one of the news states actually has somebody from Ireland currently working for them. So kind of the things you are bringing up or going to bring up, these are kind of the things that they asked her and that she pointed out. I thought that was kind of funny that you're bringing this up, because the same conversation that you and I were having about St. Patrick's Day not really being a Irish
it's
holiday,
not even an American holiday. I mean, it's just really like a, it's up there with Valentine's, because St. Valentine was a real person too.
It's really turned into an American drinking day.
So, and okay, so St. Patrick's Day is celebrated annually every March 17th in the anniversary of his death in the 15th century. St. Paddy's Day 2022 will take place on Thursday, or, you know, it already happened yesterday. It said it's been around as a religious holiday for over 1,000 years. Like, you can put a cap on it now. 1,000 years is a long time.
I mean, here's the thing.
Like, you, like, when it stops becoming about the original event, he's like,
Irish.
No. So it says on St. Patrick's Day, which falls during a Christian season of Lent, Irish, you know, then there's Ash Wednesday, and then Good Friday, right? And then Easter. So it says it was for a Christian season for Lent. Irish families would traditionally attend church in the morning and celebrate in the afternoon, which, I mean, when did they not drink? Like, I'm not saying it's stereotype, but like, when did you not? The water wasn't great in Europe, okay? Everyone drank beer and alcohol because that's how you lived. That's how you could survive and not die of dysentery. So it says Lenten prohibitions against the consumption of meat were waived, and people would dance, drink, and feast on the traditional meal of Irish bacon and cabbage. So that was when you could eat meat.
Yeah.
So normally you couldn't eat it on Sunday or whenever you went to
yeah,
church.
Yeah, because of them being Catholic.
You had to be pure and
now,
whatever.
What they eat over there.
We can eat dirty pigs now.
What they call baked ham is probably the closest thing to what, when we have our corned beef sandwich, that is not an Irish thing. They don't do that in Ireland. The closest thing they
have is
called baked ham.
Yeah, and actually Canadian bacon is pretty good. Like, it's kind of like Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
I've actually had their bacon out there.
This is an American thing.
Okay, so St. Patrick, who lived during the 15th century, is a patron saint of Ireland and is nationwide apostle. Born in Roman Britain. Yeah, he was a Roman.
He's
again.
English.
Yeah.
Not even Irish.
He was kidnapped
English.
And brought to Ireland as a slave at the age of 16. They did human trafficking back then too.
Yes, and if
just like Uhtred and like the, you know,
the things that they learned
yeah,
this in school.
It's like The Last Kingdom. I mean, Uhtred was 13 and he was English, and then, you know. So he later escaped but returned to Ireland, and he was credited with bringing Christianity to his people. It's a little gray area with that. I don't think, I mean, he did, but I feel like it was already around. It just wasn't widely known, and it wasn't widely practiced Christianity. I mean, it was still existing.
Maybe he's the first one to shove it down everybody's throat.
Well, not as bad as the Spaniards. The Spaniards were really bad. They wanted everyone to do it. Remember,
because
went to Japan and they tried like to turn the Japanese to Christianity, and guess what happened to them? They got killed. In the centuries following St. Patrick's death, believed to have been on March 17th, 461, the mythology. Emphasis on mythology surrounding his life became ever more intrigued are ingrained in the Irish culture. Perhaps the most well-known legend of St. Patrick is that he explained the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, using the three levels of native Irish clover, the shamrock. So the shamrock's supposed to represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when really it's just a plant. Like, let's just realize that. More than 100 St. Patrick's Day parades are held across the United States, New York City, Boston, and are home to the largest celebrations. When was the first day St. Patrick's Day was celebrated? So since the 9th or 10th century, people in Ireland have become have been observing the Roman Catholic feast day of St. Patrick on March 17th. The first St. Patrick's Day parade took place not in Ireland, but in America. The parade was held on March 17th, 1601, in a Spanish colony, which I said the Spaniards loved their Christianity, which is now St. Augustine, Florida. The parade and the St. Patrick's Day celebration a year earlier were organized by the Spanish colony's Irish vicar, Ricardo Artur. Are you guys keeping up with me really quick? Spanish colony's Irish vicar, Ricardo. That's confusing. More than a century later, homesick Irish soldiers serving in the English military marched in New York City on March 17th, 1772. So before America went to, you know, became separated from England, to honor the Irish patron saint. Enthusiasm for St. Patrick's Day parades in New York City, Boston, and other American cities only grew from there. So it said that the growth is like over the 35 years, Irish patronism among American immigrants flourished, promoting the rise of the so-called Irish Aid societies like the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick and the Hibernian Society. Each group would hold annual parades featuring bagpipes, which actually first became popular in the Scottish and British armies, yes, and drums. In the 1848, several New York Irish Aid societies decided to unite the parades to form one official New York City St. Patrick's Day parade. Today, the parade is the world's oldest civilian parade and the largest in the U.S., with over 150,000 participants. Each year, nearly 3 million people line in 1.5-mile parade route to watch the procession, which takes more than 5 hours. It's 5 hours. Jesus. Like, that's why you should watch it on TV.
Get drunk, fall down, pass out, get back up.
Go home, eat, come back.
Go back,
yeah.
Eat, come back.
Beat your wife, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Beat your kids. I don't know what they do in Ireland. I'm just kidding. Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Savannah also celebrate the day with parades involving between 10,000 and 20,000 participants each. And there's bound to be some fights, okay? In 2020, the New York City parade was one of the first major city events to be canceled as a result of COVID. It was again canceled in 2021. how many people will choose science over religion. They're like, nope, we don't want to die, so we can't have this parade. Like, I'm sorry. So the parade in New York happened. It returned, you know, this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it says for the Irish in America, it says, you know, up until the mid-19th century, most Irish immigrants in America were members of the Protestant middle class. That was you, your relatives, right? Your ancestors. Well, they were like Protestant. They're Irish Catholic, but yeah.
No, they were not.
They were hit with the potato famine.
They were Protestant. That, so yeah, they were not that. They came from the very northern peninsula in Ireland, where they originated from, and then moved to the lowlands of Scotland and kind of bounced back and forth between the two.
We're just letting you guys see her. So Rachel commented, St. Patrick was praised for driving the snakes out of Ireland. That meant the pagans. So many pagans celebrated All Snakes Day or something similar. I always thought that the snakes were like pedophiles. I don't know what made me think it was like pedophiles.
No, it wasn't a metaphor, but
so,
yeah.
So it was supposed to be, so they didn't like pagan traditions. They didn't like people who were like living off the land and like celebrating the earth and not celebrating.
Yeah, not Catholic.
Okay.
Catholic, get away.
Catholics and Christians are just, they're just the worst, man. So it said that Okay, so the potato famine hit Ireland in 1845. Close to 1 million poor and uneducated Irish Catholics became pouring into America to escape starvation. Despised for their alien religions, beliefs, and unfamiliar accents by American Protestant majority, the immigrants had trouble finding even menial jobs.
It's just illegal to be Irish, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, humankind just basically can't exist with each other. Like, it's us versus them. It's,
I mean,
you versus me.
One group of immigrants who come here,
and people just ridiculed or told to go home,
yeah.
And then people think that they're the victim.
It still is like
when
that,
really these people are escaping like worse conditions.
Yes, and
like
coming here with
they don't want to move.
To make life better. Yeah,
yeah, they don't want to be here. They want to go. They'd rather live in where they come from and
I mean, that's
be happy.
That's America. Rite of passage. If you're an immigrant, like, shit, gotta get shit on before we're gonna.
Well, yeah, and it's like people are like, oh, they're like right by my house, and it's like, yeah, but like. Like, who cares? They're escaping war and racism and or whatever. Most of it's just war and poverty and like death and sickness.
No,
and
anytime
then they come here and then
like that or immigration here, they're escaping something
terrible.
Yeah,
terrible. And it's like they're coming here. You guys should be coming. I mean, Norway's better at it. Norway's really good with accepting immigrants. I mean, they were a lot. They were actually voted one of the top countries to be able to actually let in immigrants. I mean, they have a lot of refugee sites
and
stuff.
We've noted before, it's everywhere racist.
So it says that when the Irish Americans in the country's cities took to the streets on St. Patrick's Day to celebrate their heritage, newspapers portrayed them in cartoons as drunk, violent monkeys. The American Irish soon began to realize, however, that their large and growing numbers endowed them with a political power that had yet to be exploited. And then started the gangs, you know, right in the 1900s. They started to organize, and their voting bloc, known as the Green Machine, became an important swing vote for political hopefuls. Suddenly, annual St. Patrick's Day parades became a show of strength for the Irish Americans, as well as a must-attended event for a slew of political candidates. In 1948, President Harry S. Truman attended New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade, a proud moment for the many Irish Americans whose ancestors had to fight stereotypes and racial prejudice to find acceptance in the new world. So then they talk about the green, you know, dyeing the river green, which I don't really want to talk about. But yeah, I mean, I guess they do celebrate it all over the place. And then the last question, what do leprechauns have to do with St. Patrick's Day? That was the last one. But I did put the article in here so you guys can read the rest of it if you want. But yeah, like, what did you have to add for that?
No, just I already, you know, did that part, such as, you know, St. Patrick is not even Irish. He's from England. You know, they don't over Ireland really celebrate the same way it's celebrated here. It's much, much more of a religious holiday or celebration over there. The kind of explosion of green everywhere for this day is truly just an American thing. They do not do that over there. They do not dye their beard green. They don't dye their waterways green.
And they're not really going to get drunk. They're just going because they, like, if anything, it's more of a political thing, holiday, than it is a, it's more of a political and religious statement than it is, you know, let's celebrate and get, it's not like, it's like pride. I mean, I feel like pride, yes, you celebrate, but you're also showing conviction. You're also showing, you're pushing back on societal norms. And
yeah, maybe that's really,
and
this,
you know, how the world wants you to be.
Like you said, maybe that's really,
that's why I don't like celebrating it anymore.
This is, was the Irish community.
We're the roots.
Back,
yes.
Saying, hey, we're here. We're people.
Yes.
We're powerful. You can't ignore us.
And it's not even just the Irish. It's just the message of accepting others, accepting difference, accepting, you know, people who are trying to or struggling and need help, need you to be a ally and a friend, and not just saying that, oh, you're Irish, you can't have a job. Like, it's just like you said, and we've never learned from that. We've never learned from that message where we have immigrants and we have refugees, and it's like, man, they don't want to leave their countries. They don't want to leave where they're from. I mean, they'd rather stay home. They'd rather be where they want to be, but they can't because, you know, they'll get bombed. I mean, especially with the Ukraine right now. I mean, how many of them are going to come out? You never know. They probably are. They're gearing up.
10 million.
They're gearing up.
Right now, there's over 3 million refugees currently right now.
There's actually a lot of safe places in Russia that are accepting Ukrainian people. They're like, there are people out there that are like, hey, like, because there are a lot of people who are against what he's doing.
That's kind of part of the ruse they wanted to funnel back there. They really are more accepting as they go towards Poland and Hungary and those places where there are already humanitarian groups set up to intake them and start to again put them in safe homes and safe places and get the children back to normal schedules and things. So,
oh my goodness, Beth. Well, that's the thing I wanted to add to that. I found someone posted a meme, or not a meme, but they posted something on our Facebook page. It says, hey, millennials and Zoomers who are dealing with your first bout of World War III panic. Find yourself a Gen X friend to see you through it. We spent the entirety of our childhoods prepping for nuclear war alone while eating Pop-Tarts cold from the foil. We got you. Thought that was kind of interesting. It's like, yeah, we've been waiting for this. I mean, we didn't want it to happen, but yeah. We've been waiting for this to happen. So grab a friend, grab an older friend. They can talk you through it, talk you through the history and why we're going through the Third World War right now. And then my other one was talking about the gas prices. Matthew, actually just the other day, my Uber driver told me that this guy, I think his name is Willie Wilson, he tried to run for mayor a couple times.
Yeah, that was the other day. It was even on the news here.
He was giving away gas for everybody. I think he's like a millionaire or something.
He is a Chicago businessman. Yeah. He has run for various offices here, including mayor of Chicago multiple times, although never won. And he is very, very generous with his money. He is known as a philanthropist.
He does every time the gas prices go up.
He has done this before.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh, my Uber driver said he was going at like 6 a.m. or something.
You have to because they're all day and the lines are almost a mile, if not longer than that.
So I'll put the article in there so you guys can at least read that. But someone was saying, yeah, what if instead of gas prices going up for everybody, oil companies simply made less money?
They're just taking money from you. Billions and billions of dollars.
It's not affecting them.
To be as high as it does. They're just not. They wouldn't make as much money. And again,
they should be okay with that.
We get to ask ourselves how much is enough, and apparently we've never stopped to ask that because look at the amount of billionaires we have. They just continue to take until when is enough? But whatever.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
That was it. At least for this episode. Yeah.
All right, guys. So we're going to tune in next week and we will let you guys know when our next recording is. I think we're going to do our live stream next week. I will edit this tomorrow and I will put it on the Anchor podcast, which will go to any of our listening platforms. Pandora has been the biggest one for us lately, but we're also on Spotify. And, you know, anywhere else.
And anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
So we love you guys. We hope you guys stay happy and stay safe. And wear a goddamn mask.
If you want.
If you want.
Yeah, it's optional.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.
Beanie, you want a treat?